Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor Oscar Clavel delivers the message entitled, For Everything There Is a Reason.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 to 20. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it? No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart for you to observe. See, I've set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but you are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and the length of days so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. This is the word of our Father.
Thank you, John. And our second reading comes from the book of Romans, chapter 8, beginning at verse 13. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from the bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what is not seen, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how we ought to pray, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love Christ Jesus, who are called according to his purposes. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. And let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks once again for your Holy Spirit being with us, guiding us, instructing us, and Father, for being a great guide in our lives, a great Lord over us. So Father, in these moments, we ask that the words of my mouth, also that the meditations of our hearts might be pleasing in your sight. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The last time that I preached, I said that we would be looking at I thought it would be a longer series, but today's kind of the last day in the series, and it's a series called Half-Truths, and we looked at statements that people say or that we say that are true at some level, but then we discover that they're not completely true at all. And the one that we looked at last time is God helps those who help themselves, which is true. We are to work and we are to pray together to see and to advance the things of our lives. But we also understood that God loves to help those who can't help themselves. And we should be very happy about that, because if it wasn't for that, there would be no such thing as grace. And of course, we're very thankful for grace. And so we love that God does help us when we can't help ourselves. Today, we're going to look at the statement, everything happens for a reason. And I personally did not anticipate the thoughtfulness and the struggle that some of you have already shared with me when it comes to this statement. So let's dig in. Does everything happen for a reason? Yes, this statement is true when we talk about cause and effect. We realize that our actions carry and they also create consequences. If I decide to text while I'm driving and I get in a car wreck and I injure someone, my direct action caused a collision. Some have mentioned the same about health. There are many chronic illnesses that could be avoided if one took preemptive action beforehand so that they wouldn't have to develop it. But of course, once we develop it, it's a bit too late. We see this also in Scripture. At the very beginning, Moses is talking to the people. They're going to go into the Promised Land. And Moses says, I give you this law. This is a good law. It's a just law. But you have to decide for yourselves, will you follow it? Because if you follow it, as John read for us, God says, you will be blessed. You will be in this land. You will possess it. You will flourish. You will multiply. If you follow God and if you love God, you will prosper. But if you decide not to, if you decide not to love God, if you decide to seek after your own desires, Moses says, well, then curses will come upon you and you will not possess this land for very long. And of course, we know the story of Scripture where the Israelites did not love God with all their hearts and they were exiled over time. So this is cause and effect. But you know, rarely do we use this statement, everything happens for a reason, when we talk about cause and effect. You know, if I have my shoelaces untied and I trip, I should have tied my shoelaces, right? So we understand that. But when we usually use this statement, we are using it as a response to suffering in our lives or in the life of another. And usually the thought goes that while we may not understand the fullness of the reason, there is the belief that God has a purpose for bringing about situations in which people suffer. Because our lives, they're unfolding according to a predetermined and unchangeable plan for our life. Everything is God's will and purpose. And as Presbyterians who hold to Calvin as one of our fathers of the faith, Calvin really is the one who brings this to light for us. And there are two words that Calvin uses. The first one is providence, and providence is the belief that God is providing, God is sustaining the universe, and the other is sovereign. God is the ultimate ruler. He has absolute authority over all things. And so Calvin believed that if God was both the creator, the provider, and sustainer of the universe, and he was also the ultimate ruler, the highest absolute authority in the universe, then nothing could happen outside of the will of God. Everything was in God's will. Because if something could happen outside of the will of God, then God wasn't really God, according to Calvin. Or God had diminished power. So when you take this to its conclusions, you get such things as the Super Bowls are all determined already. We already know who's going to win the Super Bowls. And this theological thought, it's called determinism, which is that there is a determinism in God that things will work out the way they're going to work out. The problem with this view, one of the problems that we always have to kind of balance with it, is the idea of fatalism. What will be, will be. And so Calvin doesn't go to that extreme, but if you follow his thought, it's very easy to get to that place as well. The other thing that this view can also lead to is the idea of, you know, let's suppose someone has an affair. This was always a part of God's plan. It wasn't that the devil made you do it, but that pain and suffering that you inflicted, not only on your spouse, your children, your family, that was God's will for them as well. You can't be held responsible because everything is happening according to God's will and God's purpose, even if we cannot fathom it or why it happens. But eventually, we're going to get to this very uncomfortable place where we have to branch off and ask a larger question. Now, this past school year, I was deeply impacted by the amount and the bloodiness of the school shootings. Why would God allow that to happen? What purpose does God have in having young teenagers and middle-aged school kids dying? What purpose does God have in not only a family being destroyed, but a community being devastated and grieving? What's the divine purpose in that? You see, this is where, as Christians, we continue and we have to struggle with, right? What about those things? Why are those things happening? Now, there's a lot of scriptural support for this view, especially in the Old Testament. You'll read it, especially in the book of Joshua, where you read about the wars that are taking place. All of them have been orchestrated and planned by God. You also see this most vividly in the story of the prophet Elijah. Elijah prophesies that it will not rain for a certain amount of time. And because of the lack of rain, eventually the land dries up. There's a huge drought. People are starving. And the reason why it does not rain is because God is judging the Israelites for their lack of faith, their unfaithfulness to follow God. And so the scriptures tell us that this is why this happens. But we have to take into account one other theme when we talk about, does everything happen for a reason? And this theme is one that John and I, we preach about. It's one that we talk about. If you're a part of the evangelical tradition, you're going to be very familiar with this. If you grew up Methodist or charismatic, you're going to be very familiar with this as well. And that is free will. You know, there was a kid a few years back who asked me a question that deeply disturbed me. Not that kids say disturbing things anyways, but the child said, why would God put a tree that they weren't supposed to eat? I said, that's a good question. The reason God put a tree in the garden that they were not supposed to eat is because part of being human is the ability to choose between good and wrong. That is a fundamental freedom that God gives. And on top of that, in the very creation story, God tells Adam and Eve, he says, you are to have dominion over everything that I have created, over the birds of the air, the beasts of the fields, every plant and tree. Everything will be under your dominion. And so God gives to us dominion. We know that because we feel a dominion over the things that we own. We feel a dominion over the things that we are called and called to be stewards of, right? We use that word a lot in Christian thought, that we are stewards of our things that God has given to us. And if dominion is to be real, not an illusion, but that God is not making us puppets that will just play out some part, but that we are actually free. We have the freedom to choose because we have the freedom of dominion. Then we have to realize that our dominion has real consequences. And I would argue that Scripture is full of people who misuse their freedom and often don't follow God or God's ways or commands, and instead, they come with very disastrous results. I have a story when I was, I think, in my 20s, early 20s, a friend of mine was beaten very, very badly, and it was by his father. And his father was a drunk, and he had a bunch of other issues as well. The beating was so bad that my friend was hospitalized and suffered a lot of permanent damage from some of that assault upon his body. As a result of this, his parents divorced, of course. He, unfortunately, this has been, 15, 20 years, lives with a great heightened sense of fear in his own life. You know, you have to approach him very calmly because he can jump very easily. He just is scared all the time. I asked him many years ago, why do you think this happened to you? And he said, I don't blame God for this. He said, my dad had the total freedom to not drink that day. My dad had the total freedom not to beat me that day. But he did. And I got trapped in my father's sin. And my family got trapped in my father's sin. And we've all been trapped by my father's sin. And we have to live out the consequences of that every single day. Human freedom, free will, if it is truly free, allows us the opportunity to make choice. And it allows us sometimes to choose the thing that we don't want to do. But I want to go back to our original thought, because this statement, does everything happen to a reason, there's this one challenging part to it, and that is that yes and no. I'll give you another example where, yes, I think God does have a reason for everything. There was a time, this would have been years ago, I went out for a run, and I decided to take a whole different route that morning. And that time in my life, I'd been praying for about 3 months that God would bring opportunities into my life so that I could help or talk to someone. It was just a prayer that I had made. It was like a challenge I had made for myself. And as I left that morning, for some reason, I was like, you know, I think I'm going to just go right this time. And I don't know why, I couldn't tell you. I felt like it was the right choice to make. It didn't feel like just an amoral decision of like, yeah, I'm just going to go this way today. But there felt like something interesting about that decision. And I didn't really think much about it until towards the end of my run. And it, you know, I was pretty much running like this because I'm tired and I'm worn out and I shouldn't have done that long and way out of shape, whatnot. And I'm kind of running like this, and I almost trip, you know, almost hit another runner that was, not runner, but a walker. And it was a young guy, and I said, oh my gosh, I said, I'm so sorry. I said, I'm so tired. I've been running for a long time. And we ended up having this really great conversation for about 20 minutes. And at the end of that conversation, he was so thankful that I had just stopped by and talked to him because he said, you know, I was so full. I didn't have any hope today. He said, but you just talking to me today, I just feel like I can keep going on. Something as inconsequential as taking a right instead of a left had a reason that morning. But here's the thing. We can talk about other people, we can talk about other examples, but you have to kind of decide for yourself. What do you make of the tragedies and the sufferings that happen in your life? It would be a sin for me to tell you there is not a reason for that. And there would be a sin for me to tell you there is a reason for that. Because God has given to each one of you discernment. And God has given to each of you the ability to ask, the ability to pray, and to understand how is God working in my life. So while I can't give you the answer completely, the absolute, I do believe it is a yes and a no. But here's where I like to end it off this morning. Paul, we looked at Paul a lot in Romans. I'm going to backtrack back into Romans for a moment. When Paul writes Romans, the Romans have endured a lot of persecution. They've undergone a lot of suffering. And Paul, at this one moment in the text, in chapter 8, he touches upon suffering. And he doesn't say that it comes because of God. He just says suffering is a part of life. It is something that all of you, in one way or the other, will be impacted by. And Paul could have gone a whole different route with this chapter. He could have provided the answer that we have been debating for centuries. Does everything happen for a reason? And Paul, smartly, of course, inspired by the Holy Spirit, doesn't go in that direction. Instead, Paul says this: everything in your life, the good, the bad, the tragedies, the joys, everything in your life, he says, can be forced to work for the good. Everything. For those who love God and are called according to his purposes, he says, God can take everything and make it work towards your good. And so what we realize is this one fundamental truth. Does everything happen for a reason? Who knows? I don't know for you. I know for myself. But I do know this thing. I and we are not alone. The tragedies that you endure in your life can be used for the good. And that, my friends, is a promise that I will bank on every single time. Nothing can completely be defeating us. We can be victorious. We can see the good. Of course, there's a whole other sermon about that, right? But I love how Paul ends it. Everything can be forced to work towards the good. And we're not alone. Let's pray. Gracious God, as we come to this question in particular, it's a hard one to answer in many different ways. But Lord, let us not see the question as a lack of faith or as not being faithful enough. But rather, this is the true work of faith. Faith is trying to understand you in the complexities of our lives, in the complex world that we live in. We are trying to understand you. And so a struggle with any type of answer in our lives is probably the most faithful thing we could do, because we're trying and seeking to understand you. And so God, wherever we come to this conclusion of this question, we do want to affirm one thing, though. We're not alone. And so wherever we may find ourselves, we know that God can work everything for the good. And so God, I pray that promise upon your people, because all of us have something that we need, and we ask you to force to work towards the good. Please speak to us, we pray.